Hey, everybody. Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I've been thinking a lot lately about how photographs work. It's one of the questions I get asked a lot is, how do I know when I look at somebody else's work that a photograph works? And how do I look at my own photographs? How do I know which photographs seem to be better than others? How do I know certain photographs work better than others? What is it about those photographs that really provide some insights into photographs that will probably last longer in time, resonate more, and have more feeling and context than the other photographs? I got to thinking about really how to answer that in what's hopefully a meaningful way. And it goes back to, for me, how do we start our photography? Because when we start our photography, we're not really advanced in our scene. We don't think about color. We don't think about composition. We're just really intuitively reacting. And the first thing we react to, I think, is the subject matter. It's the object that we want to photograph, whether it be a kid, a dog, a landscape, a cityscape, a portrait, whatever it is, it's the actual object. And we focus on the object first, and we don't really think about what else is going on in the photograph. As our work gets critiqued, we start to learn about the importance of composition and things on the edge and distractions and various elements of like that in the photograph. But when we start off, we really focus on subject matter. Once we kind of get our handle on that, I think we elevate to the subject of the photograph. What is the photograph about? What is the story? What am I trying to convey? What am I trying to say in the photograph? We move up to that. We now incorporate this subject matter and the subject together, and we start to get a little bit more complex photograph. I think we then move into framing, which is probably one of the most important parts of photography. I think it's also one of the things that really separates photography from a lot of other arts, in addition to the time element of photography. But in framing is we have to decide what to include in the frame that exists within the real world. Unless we're compositing and we're actually just shooting behind the camera, we have to make a decision about what is going to be included in the frame. What elements are going to be there and how are they going to be organized within that frame? Are they going to be compressed with a telephoto lens? Are they going to be extended with a wide angle lens? How are we going to shift in shape through depth of field? All of these different elements within the frame. And also what's really important there is what's excluded from the framing. What elements are we going to leave out? As we start to develop as photographers, we start to get a better sense of the framing. We start to think about line, shadow, objects moving in and out of the frame, people moving in and out of the frame. We start to realize that we actually have a lot of control to really help accentuate the subject and the subject matter of photograph by really focusing in on those framing elements. There's also an aspect of time in photography, which we've talked about before and we'll talk about in the future, that really, I think, is at the heart of one of the key concepts of photography. It's one of the key differentiators of photography is time. So I don't want to leave that out as a part of the development of a photographer, because I do think your understanding of time and how you relate to time and how you see time is a very important part of photography. However, I think probably one of the biggest areas of what works for the photograph outside the framing element is the notion of layers in photography. The photograph, as we've talked about, is a two-dimensional object that represents a three-dimensional world. And it's one of the things that when we start teaching photography and you start learning photography, we learn things like make sure there's not a pole behind somebody's head, because if you put a pole behind somebody, it's going to look like the pole's coming right out of their head because those objects are overlapped and they collapse on one another. So you start to learn these ideas or these rules about how to make sure that your subjects are properly framed so that you don't have these overlapping elements. You also learn that if those elements don't overlap, you actually create depth into the photograph. You actually create some dimensionality back into the photograph. And then all of a sudden, a two-dimensional object starts to feel like it's representing and recreating the three-dimensional world. That's when a photograph really starts to work, is when it starts to feel like it's representative of something we might see in the real world. That shift in movement from two dimension to a movement in three dimensions. In order to do that, I think one of the things that you really start to see with photographers who are starting to excel at creating amazing work is they pay attention not just to the edges of the photograph, not just to those elements with on the edge of the frame, which are the things that oftentimes newer photographers miss out on. They also pay attention to things that might be a distraction in the photograph. So they will make sure that they change composition or move for certain elements like a bright light or a brightly colored sticker that's maybe on a window that would be a real big distraction against the subject or the subject matter of the photograph. So that's all taken into account. But the other thing they do is they really work on three or four planes within the photograph. They work on a foreground. They work at a, what I like to have is about a 1/3 of the way into the photograph, and then a 2/3 is kind of the middle. So there's a two middle section, and then there's the back of the photograph, which is the very farthest thing away in the photograph. Good photographers, great photographers, think about those photographs and they build their compositions within the frame, thinking about those elements. So they are framing, determining what's in and out. But then once they've determined that, they then start to think about, how do I layer this photograph? How do I layer the objects? How do I layer the subjects? How do I layer the elements of the design in the photograph so that you experience them at different points and different places in spatial relationship? I think for a lot of photographers, we probably default to one. You're either a foreground person first or you're a background person first. And if you're a background person first, you compose and figure out the background and then you work your way forward in the scene. If you're a foreground person, you probably have the foreground elements done first and then you work your way to the back and figuring out how does the composition change to the back. And I think there's probably a small segment of photographers that maybe work from the middle out, but my guess is most people are either back to front or front to back. How does that come into play? Let's say like you're a landscape photographer. Your horizon line could be placed incredibly close or farther back in the frame. The horizon line kind of bisects the frame wherever it is. The things behind the horizon line would be in the background. The horizon line could be your middle ground, and then the rocks or the trees could be in the foreground. You could shift those elements around in any number of ways, and you could change what is the actual middle ground. It doesn't necessarily have to be the horizon line. But you have these elements of far away, the sky, then say some mountains, and then a tree. Or you have sky, and then the horizon line, and then a road that comes forward. So you have these elements that are allowing you to experience a thing going off in the distance. So it's one of the things that lines create. They help us create those dimensions. They create a perspective through a photograph. So that's an element. If you're doing portraiture work, the light you use a lot of times determines this, how the light falls on your subject matter. Or if you're a wedding photographer and you've got the couple's first dance and you've got that soft focus, so there's the background is the wedding, people at the wedding in the background. And then in the middle is probably the couple dancing, and in the foreground might be the expanse of the dance floor that kind of represents the openness of their future together. Or you might actually position something in the foreground so that there's actually a set of flowers or the wedding cake or something like that, and then you hit the subject and then you go back into that crowd. If you're doing something like concert or music photography, I grew up in Colorado. We used to go to Red Rocks all the time. You could shoot a concert where you photograph the crowd as the foreground, the stage as the midground, and then the scenic beauty behind Red Rocks. Up here in Washington State, a lot of concerts are the gorge. It's the same thing. You have the crowd, the stage, and then the beautiful sunset behind on the gorge. As I've gone back and looked at my own work, and I've looked at the photographs where we really think, you know, from a pop culture, a history of photography, photographs that are really interesting and captive for a number of reasons, they oftentimes have this midground, foreground, and background elements that come into play in the photograph. And when photographs don't work, they tend to have one of those elements or two of those elements don't cohesively hold together for the composition of the photograph. Now, if you take the midground, foreground, and background layering and you don't have cohesiveness among those don't become informative. They don't actually work together. And then you layer on anything else wrong with the photograph, whether it's depth of field, subject, a framing piece, the photograph really starts to fall apart because now the thing that was allowing us to experience the entire photograph and move us back and forth through the photograph is broken down. So now we start to notice bigger problems, more complex problems in the photographs. So if you're finding your own work for some reason isn't working, you're looking at a photograph and you're not sure why it's not working, and you've realized, well, I've got my framing is actually kind of about how I want it. I don't have anything major in the distractions. Look at those foreground, midground, and background elements of the photograph. Because chances are there's something in that that's causing the photograph to break apart. It's also one of the reasons that when you deal with becoming a really good photographer, and when you talk to the great photographers, it doesn't matter who they are, they all have a very similar theme. They find a spot, they compose and frame, and then they wait for something to happen. Now, they may not wait for an hour. They may not wait for 10 hours. They may not wait for a week. Now, they might wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but they create those foreground, background, midground elements. They pull all of that together, and then they wait for a moment to happen. They wait for that element of surprise. They wait for a gesture. They wait for somebody to walk through the frame. all of those elements come together. So that way there is this foreground and midground, background, plus the framing, plus the composition. So I would encourage you to go out and take a few minutes to find a place that has an interesting foreground, midground, and background. Where it's got, say, you're doing landscape work, you've got interesting clouds, you've got a beautiful set of hills, you've got something interesting in the foreground. Maybe there's an animal or there's a tree, and wait for the wind to blow or for the animal to pick up its head or some object to appear. If you're doing street work, pick a corner and wait. Wait for somebody to come by in a brightly colored outfit. Watch for a certain gesture to happen. There's a lot of elements that can come together when you've set up and figured out already the foreground, midground, and background. Your frame's already done. You don't have to think about everything all at once. You just have to wait for that moment to happen. As I look back at my own work, this is one of the elements where I really have found that I think this is a big thing for me to focus on personally going forward, is finding and making sure that I'm really conscious about those layers within the image and having stronger images. And that doesn't matter whether it's macro work or, you know, really wide angle landscape work. Always focusing on those three elements. I wish you the best of luck behind the camera. I hope some of this gives you some insights into your own work, maybe a way to look back at your work and see if maybe that's a part of the photography that you're struggling with that you weren't aware of. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes, or you can find us on the web at www.theperceptivephotographer.com. And I will see you next time.